Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Mary Jo Bowser. It is September 15th, and we're in Radio X Studio today in Atlanta, Georgia, with Sam and Lee and our special guest. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, that was good. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And Lee?
A-OK.
Good. And our guests today are Dave Savage and Beverly Molander. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
And congratulations on two fronts to our guests. They recently got married.
That's right.
Wonderful.
May 2nd.
And then their book, Heartfelt Memorial Services, was released
about
days
that
after.
Time. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. So congratulations
Thank
on both
you.
Of those guys. Well, we start out the show usually just asking a little bit about each of you, your background, where you're from, and how you got to Heartfelt Memorial Services. So you want to let the lady go first?
Beverly.
Right. There you go, Beverly.
I'm Beverly Molander, and I was born in Deep River, Connecticut, and grew up in Ogalle, Florida, and moved to Atlanta as a grown-up right after college, a young grown-up. Mm-hmm. So my background most recently is as a minister with Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm an ordained minister and just got ordained the same day that we got married on May 2nd and the same day our book was available.
That was a big
day. Yes, it
day.
Was a big day.
That was a big
yes,
day.
Yes, yes. So,
Ogalle, Florida, you said.
E-A-U-G-A-L-L-I-E. It's a part of Melbourne, Florida.
I didn't even try it. I just put Florida
yes,
down.
Yes, yes. Don't right. worry about it. It's now defunct.
I'm a Gator, you know, so
oh,
I'm
well,
interested
I'm a
in
Seminole.
This. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I won't Gator bait you over there, Beverly.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, with a whole background in different things, including media and my own company about people taking that next step in their personal and professional lives, I started honing in to being a minister with Centers for Spiritual Living. And also, out of that, have a radio show on Unity Online Radio called Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes. So that's all about people who have said, yes, I will, yes, I can, in their own lives, in the community, or the world. So I interview people who are activating the power of yes.
Okay, and you're a minister with the
Centers for Spiritual Living.
Okay, and that's different than like Unity Church.
Yes, but it's a partner organization with Unity.
Okay.
And that's why because I'm a minister with Centers for Spiritual Living, I can also have a radio show on Unity Online Radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And how long have you been here in Atlanta?
Oh, since the 70s.
All right.
Yeah, except for a couple of years in Miami. So,
is that where you met that young man sitting beside you?
Yes, yes, yes. We met about almost 5 years ago.
Online.
Yeah.
She was hunting for somebody else, and that's the biggest way for 50-somethings and 60-somethings to find each other these days. And I had a wonderful long list of things that made me a wonderful catch. And, and my handle was the Nest Builder, and I've lived up to that reputation.
How about that?
Isn't that cool?
So we dated actually online, and we by Skype for the first few dates.
Wow.
And that was fun.
So that got us familiar with each other, and it's like, oh, he's not really, you know, 20 years older than what he says he is, and I'm not.
And he looks like he is.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know each other, so that's another radio show, but it's a very interesting way to meet.
How about that?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Dave?
I grew up in Los Angeles. I went to Long Beach State and Sacramento State College and moved out to Atlanta with my first wife in about 1979 or so. So I've been here, okay, it's my daughter's 36 years or so. I've been in Atlanta. So I have a bit of nostalgia both here and in the Southern California area.
Dave, if I remember correctly, and for our listening audience, Dave is a returning guest, is probably the way to say that. You have quite an interesting educational background, if I remember as well. Isn't there an engineering background there and several other things?
Well, I think I have an engineering mentality.
Oh, that's right. That's what I remember that. That's exactly right.
Well, and the part that it was intriguing for you, I think, was the fact that I was past president and still a mentor with the Inventors Association of Georgia. And I can carry on for a couple of hours what to do and not to do with your big idea, giving people my role now is to scare the heck out of people, give them a big whack upside the head of reality before they start spending their time and money. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. And of course, many of the characteristics of an invention is a book. And a book is a creation. And the way you market it, the way you look at pricing, the way you, how you put it out there in the world is very similar, just a different kind of a commodity.
Well, both of you, not only have you combined your efforts and your lives, but you also sat down and have written a book. So let's bridge over to that. Tell us about Heartfelt Memorial Services, how you got together, and what it's all about.
Well, I think we have both been amazed how many different ways our lives have crossed paths before we even met of similar journeys. And my parents were amazing, still are. Dad's 90, mom's 86.
Wow.
And they, for most of all my growing up, were amazing, especially my mom, amazing role models for creating meaningful and heartfelt life cycle events for family and friends. And that included memorial services and anniversary parties. My mom, give my mom a microphone, and she can spontaneously create, spin wonderful words of connection between people. And they were the default because of the rationality and their calmness. They were the default people for creating memorial services for many, many years. In fact, when
for writing, their friends and family.
When, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, writing the book, they became, they saved all the writings and collection, and that was a nice beginning for our book of the materials that they had created over time. And I had been involved over also with the Unitarian congregation as the event coordinator and with the weddings or memorial services, saw people doing wonderful things and missing opportunities for connection. And I began making notes of what things that could be done in the future. In fact, going back to 1983, I think I saw a dot matrix piece of paper saying, create a memorial service book. And then found out Beverly also had the same kind of epiphany from her experiences as well. In fact, we found out that we both had been involved with the same Unitarian congregation at different times.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to each other.
About 20 years apart, but we were still involved in this tiny little Unitarian congregation in Atlanta. And so Dave was talking about noticing the lost opportunities people had with people in relation to memorial services. And I was noticing the opportunities that I had. So not lost opportunities, but opportunities to create something that was meaningful for me. One of them was when my mother died in 2008, and she had said back in the early 90s, Bevy, I know I'm not going to die anytime soon, but I've got the casket picked out, Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. This is what I want done. And I said, oh, Mom, you're just too young to talk about that. Let's not talk about it. She said, well, it's ready when you need it. 15 years later, I needed it, and it was there. And as an only child, I really appreciated that.
Sure.
So I wanted more people to be able to think ahead without having the angst of sorrow surrounding them, to be able to create a memorial service that was worthy of the person that they had lost.
Beverly, I don't know that I've experienced that the depth you and Dave have, but I understand what you're saying. And what strikes me is what your mother did was right on. But we humans have a tendency to shy away from that stage
or that
because we probably live in denial. And I don't know if it's denial. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I guess denial is the right word.
Procrastinate.
So how would you suggest that individuals get beyond that hesitancy to address what they don't want to address, but which is inevitable?
Well, the thing that my mother did was start that conversation before it was necessary, 15 years before she died. So if there is a way, and that's what one of the things we encourage about in our book, is if there's a way to address that and bring that up before it's like, you're going to die within the next month, Mom. What do you want for your funeral?
You know what just occurred to me is one way to do it, and I don't know, it would be cool if this is in your book, but is to talk about how do you want your life celebrated? It's not just about dying. It's about where you started, Dave, celebrating life and connecting moments and
Dave
stuff.
Dave has lots of wonderful questions surrounding that topic.
Yeah, so going back a little bit to the previous one, how do you bring up the topic, especially now with the boomers out there with AARP and so many articles, you refer to a news event happening, a loss in the news, or an article you've read, or a friend who was dealing with a similar subject. And you said, my friend has asked me for advice on how to handle this. And I was thinking, well, gee, you know, I gave her some advice, but then I began thinking, well, what would I do for you, or what would you do for me? Because that just came out of the conversation, and I didn't know. So I'm just curious, do you care about how the end would be? Some people, Mom, just say, have a party, and whatever you do is up to you. And other people care deeply that they have white carnations. I don't know which of these issues are important to you. And if you let me know, then you know, we'll do what we like that we think represents you. But if you have a particular part that you think is important to you, then now is the time to kind of let me know or think about that in the future.
Mm-hmm. And something that may help is that it can be awkward, because a lot of people have that feeling, if I bring it up, that will bring it forth. It will mm-hmm. mean we're closer to death and I don't want to talk about it. Maybe having something be like, okay, Mom, I want 30 seconds of your time and I have some questions to ask you. Okay. Number one, like Dave said, when your time comes, does it matter to you about a funeral or a memorial service? Is there something that's important to you, or does it not matter? I don't care. Just do whatever you want. I don't, you know. So, okay, that's good. But then, okay, are you thinking, now this is the 30 seconds and you've got it timed, you know, funeral or cremation, burial or cremation? If it's burial, where? Up in your hometown or around here? Who do you want to lead the service? So you've got just a finite part of time. Then you say, okay, now let's go to lunch. So at least you've started the conversation and this thinking. Do you want any particular music, any particular readings? Well, any flower color. That's right.
My parents live in a independent living, and they're all, the average age is like 92 in the independent living tower. And of course, if you've been there for a while, you know, every time there's an ambulance, they say, oh, a new opening, you know,
another for sale. A vacancy.
And so they've had experiences dealing with going to memorial services. And what do you think about the memorial services you've been to? And that helps direct. Oh, I hated it. They didn't, you know, it was all religion or it was no religion. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, it's interesting. Two things come to my mind, personal experience, and one relates, one doesn't, but nevertheless, I remember one, and it was a spur-of-the-moment thing with my parents. I was living in Cleveland, Ohio. Long story short, we were traveling, my parents and I, 3 hours in a car. I have a lot of family history on my mother. Not a lot of documented family history on my father's side. So we started driving, and, you know, you're in a car for 3 hours with your parents. You talk, blah, 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 blah. Well, I said, Mom, do me a favor. And my dad was there. I said, I want to ask some questions about Dad and Dad's family, and you write this down. We spent 3 hours, I just asked questions. I knew my grandfather, but your grandfather, Dad, my great-grandfather, what was he like? did he play sports? Where's he from? Did he have, was he a hunter like you? I mean, and my mother, and literally I've got six legal tablet pages, yellow legal tablet, written in my mother's handwriting.
That's great.
That addresses all this. That's, I mean, precious, precious. For my father, the second issue, I had a great father, but I really didn't come to understand what a good guy he was until I was about approaching 30. And he reared me. We did well. And so after I'd come to Atlanta, I kind of started thinking. I said, you know, I've never really expressed to my father what I truly believe. And yeah, it was late in life, but never let. So I wrote him a letter. I wrote him a 2.5 page letter, and I just told him what the memories that I had of him and things that he made me do, which I hated, but which I knew now made me a bit, all that good stuff. And it became the eulogy. That letter was, I read at, and that was the eulogy for him at his funeral. So there's a lot of little things like that you can do that as you talk about the memories, the memorial services.
Oh, nobody but bit on my hook about how do you want to celebrate your life? I mean,
oh, well, this is another motivation that I had about writing this book, because we're talking about funerals, celebrations of life, and times of remembrance.
Yeah.
And I went to the best celebration of life. A friend of mine had been diagnosed and given just a few months to live and decided not to go to, extra treatment. And we had a celebration of life ceremony for Chris Daly, where there were about 150 people there. We played her favorite rock and roll music. We had a memorial table. We had people standing up giving testimonies. We did the whole thing, only Chris was there to enjoy it.
Oh,
and that's exactly what Dave's mom says. Don't come to visit me when I'm dead. Come to visit me when I'm alive so we can enjoy the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a motivation to put in our minds a celebration of life while somebody is still alive.
So you had a celebration of life for your friend, and she was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
But was she sick or old?
No, she hadn't gone through the treatment, so she was diagnosed with a disease that eventually was her end, in a few months. But she was up and kicking and, led the first dance and honor of Chris Daly.
But that's the issue that I brought up earlier about how do you overcome the stigma or the denial. I mean, what you did and what you did describe,
that's
Beverly,
wonderful.
Is wonderful. But let's be honest. Most people are going to look at that going, that's sick. You people got to get a real life.
Well,
so how do you overcome it?
Well, we were just talking about that in the lobby coming here. And that to a certain degree, the way you ask the question and your casualness of the thing sets a tone of example. And so if you're treading on pins and needles, the way you're asking the question, oh, Mom, I'm not sure if you want to answer this question or not. It's kind of scary. Well, then that makes it more so that way. In regard to even a party, especially with the increased secularization around the world, people say, well, just have a party, raise a beer. Well, even if you're having a celebration instead of a memorial service, we encourage people to create a time within that party for sentimentality, for ritual, for ceremony. We light a candle. We read letters that have come in from each other, and we pass the circle of wine as each one shares a little bit, and that adds a more significance to this time together.
Dave, when you said that, a long, long time ago, I read a statement by a psychologist that worked in businesses, and I think his name was Whately, but he said your most dominating thought becomes reality. So what you just said is how you approach the subject and portray the subject becomes reality for that subject, and that's true. That's true.
And just another thing that you were talking about, Mary Jo, is that when we're talking about a celebration of life, it doesn't have to be like a Dave, you're going to die, so we're going to have a celebration of life before you die. To me, when Dave and I got married, we had 200 people there. It was a very unique thing. I got ordained to begin with, and that was a set of people who were there for that, and everybody stayed for the wedding, and it was jubilant. It was over the top. People's faces were beaming. it was one of those things. And I said, you know what? This is my celebration of life right here and now. You do not have to come to my memorial service. You came to this. And I was here to share it with you. So if you have a birthday that's coming up where you can have a celebration of life around that, it doesn't have to be shrouded in death.
Well, one of the things, you know, our subtitle of the book is Your Guide for Planning Meaningful Funerals, Celebrations of Life and Times of Remembrance. And that Times of Remembrance comes at any time where we share stories. And one of the ways to get ideas of what they would like to have at the end of life is to say, what was your experience with your grandparents? What do you remember about the loss of your mom and dad?
Like Sam did.
As Sam did. And so you get a sense of how they feel about those people as a carry over to them as well. And we had a grand old party. It was fantastic, you know, or, you know, it was you know, that they had the preacher because it was the guy she knew, but yeah, you know, they made a altar call out of the service. Mm-hmm. There was nothing about him at all and really bugged the heck out of me, you know, and so you get a sense of, you know, religious identification. And how do we, in fact, our book is about how do you blend or make okay, to a certain degree, different levels of religious observance so that it has something of significance. How do you make all the atheists proudly and loudly singing the religious hymn? And there's ways of doing that. And so one of the ways is that we suggest you say, if it's appropriately true, you say, this song was very, very important to Mom as she lay in the hospital. And but it's also important to her brother Bob over here in the first row. Won't you please sing this song both in honor of Mom and because it's so important to Bob as well. It's healing to him to hear the song again.
That's yeah. Ingenious.
So it doesn't mean that you're having to give up your private beliefs. You're doing it in honor. You're extending yourself in honor of someone else.
Sam, you mentioned one of the other things in our book that seems to call attention or resonate with people. You wrote a letter to you about the things that you're so important about your dad to you. And if somebody's lived a long life or one of significance across a broad range of years and topics, we have an exercise we call Who Among You? And the person who's leading the service says, Bob had an extraordinary life impacting lots of people, but most of you in this room only know him from one area of his life. Won't you, as I call out the things that we know about him, would you please stand so everybody will know that you are part of that?
So we can see who among you.
Who toured his garden. We know that he was a coach for softball for 20 years in his early years. Well, we know today that there are many of the players who have called him dad or a coach, but with all his players, please stand. Oh my God. You know, 50 people all stand up in tears. You know, all the people who worked with him at IBM or whatever it might be. And that really gives the people an idea who's in the room. And part of that is having a name tag. Bob, you know, Dan, brother. Dan, cousin.
That's
Dan,
a great Dan idea,
co-worker.
Too.
So because in the lobby beforehand or the reception afterwards, you walk by people, you would certainly engage them differently if you knew
how they were related to the person.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So we're going to circle back to the content, but it just makes me want to read it. So how are people going to get it? How are you distributing this?
It's on Amazon.
Very good.
Okay. Our website, many websites for books don't include much content about the book. But as you might know, Amazon has an inside look, but it's very random. So we created our own 30 pages of inside look of a sampling of the material, table of contents. And not only do we include material that's related to the book and related topics, but we also have invited and included videos from NPR and other documentaries to bring out the conversation. And there's a very, very powerful videos there that we have links. You can actually watch them on the site, which will help you bring up the conversation of role models of what worked for families and families who are facing issues you may not have thought of to ask.
Okay, now you stumped me here. You said NPR. Is that National Public Radio?
That's right.
So how do you do videos from radio?
They on National Public Television,
Oh, okay, okay.
And there are radio interviews as from others as well.
Cool.
And our website, if you go to Amazon, they take a little bit higher percentage. We also have a CreateSpace link with a little bit less money. You can do it. We have a digital edition as well.
But the main thing about having heartfelt memorial services, a book in your hand, is that we recommend this as a resource guide. It's not like a novel where you pick it up and read it from beginning to end. There is too much information to pick it up and absorb it. But when you're ready, or if your best friend's mother is dying or something like that, you can pick it up and automatically, I think, you'll be led to the right chapters that will suit you then. What to do when opinions differ within the family. How to involve children in the memorial service. How to set up a memorial service to make it more intimate if there's a small crowd. What if people are scattered all over the country and won't be coming together for a service? What can you do to honor that person? So there's a resource of information right there in that book.
We realize that the book addresses two audiences. One, the families directly, but also our book is directed towards all of the advisors and service providers that are involved in this field, from chaplains to clergy to elder care facilities to elder care lawyers and all the rest. And one of the things is that because our book is digitally printed, we can offer private label custom content editions for them to take our book, add their content to it, add some of the content on the cover, and say, thanks for letting us be of service to your family. Here's some great things to think about, and we've included some advice that we have on about our company and what we offer that you may not be aware of. So that's one of our good focuses of marketing, is on the private label custom content editions for a wide range of services, obviously funeral industry, etc.
Yeah, I can see where, and again, just from our background, I know that this is good stuff, but people are not going to think of it. They're going to be in crisis mode when they're doing this.
That's why we made the font size larger than we initially thought, because people are going to be bleary-eyed, they're going to be teary-eyed, and how are they going to get through this?
Well, and we think that there's I'm saying half and half of last-minute crises. And then think of all the people who have had a long stretch of time to think about that, to work out their grief. They've been in elder care. They've been in nursing homes. They've been in ICU. So this thought, they're not, when it comes to the funeral, of course, they're emotional, above normal. But I think that the sobbing, crying part is different if it's been a lingering, long time plan.
Definitely. Definitely. So I don't know if this is possible, but like, could you give me an example or anything of how that custom page thing might work? I mean, in theory, I think it's a great idea, but
yeah. So the book is 230 pages currently. There's like 10 pages of our dedication, our front matter, what they call, and we can easily swap that out. But in fact, we can offer as many pages of the content from this company organization. In fact, as a fundraiser, thanks for the donation to the Cancer Society or the Leukemia Fund, and here's a like.
But ideally, you want to get it into the hands of people before. I mean,
yes,
before their loved one dies.
I'm gonna say when it goes to the service provider, they're using it to give to their clients, or they're buying them for their own.
It would be a great thing for hospice. Mm-hmm.
Right,
Their own
internal training.
Yep.
So an internal training and resource among people. And then if they want to buy more, obviously it's great for us to give to selected clients.
Mm-hmm. How's the price point, guys?
$12.99.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Right, at $12.99. And for that same price, we can afford to give you 10 pages of your own content at the $12.99 price.
So that would be you.
You buy 100 books. Buy 100 books.
Okay.
The answer is yes, Mary Jo.
Buy 100 books and you can put in your own content.
I mean, that's a lot of different dips and sways and ifs, ands, and buts, but you get the idea.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
Well, this is time has flown by. This is interesting. It was a very robust and energetic conversation, and which is what you, it's kind of opposite, but it's good because people just, like I said in the beginning, it's just the human nature not to address this stuff.
Yeah, one of my favorite phrases in The Inventors is, be careful what you ask for, you might get it. But if you're not aware of what's possible to ask for, you're missing so many
opportunities.
Yes.
Interesting.
So I feel like our book is kind of giving permission to people to look at end-of-life experiences in a different way. It's
kind of
a pioneering, eye-opening way of looking at something from a different perspective. It's kind of like, you know, people aren't, sobbing, wearing black for a year. Now there are different traditions around the end of life that have gone by the wayside. And this is another example as to how we can keep those traditions that are meaningful to us and let go of the ones that don't work for this day and age.
Right. And there's nothing about what you all have said and about the book says don't grieve.
No.
I mean, no.
Uh-uh.
Grieving is a very important part of it. But to include the times of remembrance and the celebrations of a person's life, I think it's just sweet and necessary.
Yes.
And I think more the trend.
Yeah, and it's a way of expressing your grief
in a wonderful way. Yeah, in a positive way.
Yes.
I agree. So before we end, let's tell our audience once more how they can get it, a website where they can get it, and maybe even a phone number.
Sure. Our website is heartfeltmemorialservices.com. We love to talk to people in any stage as individuals. We give training. We also officiate. We didn't even mention that we officiate and bring what we know to other people, especially in the local area. But hey, you wanted to have a memorial service in Bahamas or Saint-Tropez, we'll go there too.
Okay.
And we consult with people who are planning a service and don't quite know how to do it.
Great. Right.
So phone number 404-931-7333, and that's Beverly's phone number, and I'll give you her email is beverly@beverlymolander.net.
M-O-L-A-N-D-E-R, beverlymolander.net.
But our website has all that information.
Yeah, and order the book on amazon.com. It's right there. Heartfelt Memorial Services, your guide for creating meaningful funerals, celebrations of life, and times of remembrance.
And they can order it
from the website,
heartfeltmemorialservices.com.
It'll have a link to our Create Space page.
Okay.
And they can go directly there and get that.
Super.
But we'd love to know who's buying the book so we can follow up testimonials. In fact, on our website, we have 24 now, testimonials from professionals who adore what we have and think it's so important. So we're looking for more from a wide variety of religious and professional backgrounds that gives credibility to what we're saying.
Great. Well, this has been an interesting and informative show, and we thank you both so much and invite you to be on again for the second printing or whatever.
Yes.
but we thank you so much. And as always, we close by saying that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, then it also goes without saying, but we say it anyway, that the elders of this nation are its greatest national treasure. So, God bless. Thanks for listening.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.